for an opportunity again to fellowship with one another and to fellowship around the written word. Father, we thank you for, as we look into the word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, no disparity, but we enjoy, okay, the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in this house. Father, we thank you, we give you praise. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can have your seat. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So today we want to look at something. Are you ready? We want to look at the subject of prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to look at the subject of prayer. Okay, it will be a series. Okay, so that means we would be teaching past today, but we just want to look at what exactly is prayer. Okay, why do we pray? Amen. And how should we pray? Hallelujah. So are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, James chapter 5, reading from verse 13. Okay? James 5:13. Are you there? Okay. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Okay? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Hallelujah. And the Lord will raise him up. Okay. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we'll come back to this text, okay? We'll come back to this shortly. But before we examine this text very well, look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 1. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks, okay, be made for all men. Hallelujah. So it says, first of all. Now that phrase, okay, first of all in the Greek is two words, is proton panton. Proton panton. That's the phrase, first of all. Now the word proton is proton. P-R-O-T-O-N. The first O is accentuated. Okay? And we have the word panton. Panton is P-A-N-T-O-N. The O there is accentuated as well. So we have proton panton. Okay? First of all. Now that word proton means first in importance. Okay? First in importance. The word panton means of all. Okay? So when Paul says, I exhort first of all that prayers and prayers and intercessions be made, he speaks of what is a matter of primary importance in the church. Are you here? Okay? He speaks of what is of primary importance in the church. So we can read it this way. Therefore, I exhort that as a matter of primary importance. Do you see that? That's the word, the phrase first of all. First of all, there means as a matter of primary importance. Okay? So we can read it like this. Therefore, I exhort that as a matter of primary importance, supplications, prayers, and intercessions be made. Do you see that? Do you see that? So that phrase, first of all, is to show that prayer is of a primary importance in the church. Okay? Prayer requires our focus and our immediate attention. Hallelujah. Prayer requires our focus and our immediate attention. Now, look at Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. The gospel according to Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 1. It says, then he spoke. Now, he there is referring to Jesus, okay? And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Do you see that? Do you see that? Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, let's follow the parable, okay? Verse 2. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Okay? Verse 3. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Verse 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Hallelujah. Lest by a continual coming she weary me. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, verse 8, that he will avenge them speedily. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, obviously, it would be funny to say that the unjust judge here in the parable represents God. Right? He is not God. Jesus made that very clear in verse 4. Look at your Bible. He says, though I do not fear God nor regard man. So obviously it wasn't God talking, right? 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 Because God can say, I do not fear God. Right? So obviously it wasn't God talking here. Now, Jesus tells you in verse 7 what God does. He says, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them what? Speedily. Hallelujah. Do you see that? He will avenge them what? Speedily. So when it comes to God, God answers speedily. Hallelujah. Amen. God answers speedily. So this is actually a contrast. Okay? It's not a comparison. It's a contrast between God and man. Unlike the unjust judge who needed to be asked, begged before he answered, God doesn't act that way. Hallelujah. So unlike the unjust judge, God will answer speedily. Amen. Amen. So, God is not the unjust judge. Amen. Jesus used the unjust judge to explain what God is not. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like Luke 11. Look at Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. Reading from verse 9. Are you here? Are you here? Okay. Luke 11 verse 9. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Now, I want you to observe verse 11 very carefully. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? So that's a rhetorical question, right? Okay. He says, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Do you see that again? Verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13. Now, pay attention. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Do you see that? Come on, do you see that? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Hallelujah. Amen. So if earthly parents know how to give good gifts, how much more God? How much more the heavenly Father? So just like, you know, it would be funny to read this and say the earthly parent who doesn't give scorpion is God. Right? Or the earthly parent who gives scorpions is God. Hallelujah. Obviously, he is speaking figuratively, right? So just like, you know, he's using figures of speech to speak here, is the same way he does for the unjust judge. The unjust judge is not God. Amen. Amen. Like I said, the unjust judge is to show what God isn't like. Hallelujah. The unjust judge is to show what God isn't like. And let me say this as well, that a key thing in parables is that you do not remain fixated on the characters and the symbols used. Amen? You do not remain fixated on the characters and symbols used. In a parable, simply get the message and move on. Did you get that? In a parable, simply get the message and move on. Don't start analyzing the symbols. Did you get that? Don't be too fixated with symbols. For example, folks go to the parable, we call it the parable of the 10 virgins, right? And they start, you know, that parable was simply to teach Israel vigilance. That was all that parable was teaching, that Israel is going to be destroyed. Now be vigilant, so that when Israel is destroyed, you who are vigilant can see when the destruction is coming and escape. That was all that parable was teaching. Very simple, right? You smile. Very simple. But some go to that parable and they start seeing all sorts. The oil is the Holy Ghost. How? The fire is the Holy Ghost. The oil too is the Holy Ghost. You say 10 is the number of completion. Just read the parable, get the message, and move on. Hallelujah. Stop analyzing the symbols. Don't worry, we'll look at parables soon. Amen. And we'll make that very clear. Is that understood? So same with the parable of, back to Luke 18 again. Same to the parable, same, what am I trying to say? Same with the parable of the unjust judge. Amen. Some call it the persistent widow. Amen. So Jesus is simply making a contrast with this parable. What is he saying? If an unjust judge will answer by consistent asking, how much more God who is just? Do you see that? If an unjust judge will answer by consistent asking, how much more God who is just? So God will not keep anything long. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. Do you understand that? Guys, do you understand that? So the issue when it comes to asking or when it comes to prayer is actually with you. How long can you ask for what you want? The issue is not with the person you are asking. Are you with me? Are you with me? The issue is not with God. We've seen God answer speedily, right? The issue is now with you. How long are you willing to ask for what you want? And again, that brings us back to verse 1 of the same chapter, Luke 18. It says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Do you see that? Men what? Always ought to pray. Now, I want you to note that word always, okay? Underline it in your Bible in verse 1. It's the Greek word pantote. P-A-N-T-O-T-E. P-A-N-T-O-T-E. Pantote. That's the word always there. Now, that word means at all times. Hallelujah. Pretty straightforward. It means at all times. Okay? Now, also observe that phrase and not lose heart. So, it says men always ought to pray, or at all times ought to pray, right? and not lose heart. The King James Version actually says, and not faint. Okay? And not faint. But we'll explore this as we go on. Amen. So Jesus says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Always means at all times. Hallelujah. Now, some only pray when trouble happens. No. Amen. Men always ought to pray. Hallelujah. When good is happening, when bad is happening, we ought to pray always. Are you here? Are you here? Amen. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, reading from verse 1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected, in the daily distribution. Verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Okay, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What business? Reading in context, what business? Serving tables. Thank you very much. But we will give ourselves what? Continually. Do you see that? To prayer and the ministry of the word. Do you see that? Now, our focus is in verse 4. It says, continually to prayer. Underline that in your Bible. Continually to prayer. Amen. Now, look at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Do you see that again? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Underline that in your Bible. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now, do you observe that every time prayer is mentioned, it's continuous? Right? It is all the time. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very popular verse. It says, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Straightforward, right? Pray without ceasing. Do you see that again? Without ceasing means don't stop. So again, continually, right? Right? Continually, right? Thank you. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying what? Always. Do you see that again? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So again, praying always. Not praying at times. Right? Not praying when things are good. Or when things are bad, rather. Praying always. Hallelujah. Now, what does the word pray mean? What does it mean to pray? The word pray is gotten from a Greek word. I'll give it to you now. Is the word prosukomai. Prosukomai. P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-O-M-A-I. P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-O-M-A-I. That's the word pray. Okay? In the Greek. Now, prosukomai means to bring forward a petition. Okay? To a higher authority. Knowing that this authority has the ability to accomplish what you desire. I'll come again with that. It means to bring a petition to a higher authority, knowing that this authority has the ability to accomplish what you desire. Amen? The word prosukomai means to offer up requests or wishes to that higher authority. Do you understand that? That's the word petition. Okay? You take your wishes, okay? Your desires. Something is happening that you don't like, or something is happening that you want to change. Amen? Amen? So you take that as a request, okay? To a higher authority. and you let him know. Amen. That's the word prosikomai. Now, applying it in context of the Bible, who is our higher authority? Who is our higher authority? It's God, right? Amen. So in our case, that authority is God. Amen. So when I pray, I should know that I'm not whiling away time. Amen. I'm not wasting time. Just pray. No, I am actually speaking to one who has the ability to get things done. Hallelujah. Amen. When I pray, I am talking to one who has the ability to get things done. Amen. So prayer actually is to accomplish things. Amen. Prayer primarily is offering up requests to God to accomplish things. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are not just praying to someone who likes you. Amen. But can't do something about it. Now, imagine, you know, you are in need of money. Amen. You need 1,000,000 naira. And you go and meet your best friend. Your best friend account details read 10 naira. Amen. So you say, please, I need 1,000,000 naira. Now, you know, your best friend likes you, right? He's a friend, but he doesn't have the ability to answer you. Amen. So as much as he likes you, he doesn't change a thing. Hallelujah. Unless he will go and rob a bank. Amen. He doesn't have the ability. He likes you. Amen. He's your good friend, but he doesn't have the power to do what you are asking for. But when it comes to God, you are talking to someone who actually has, it's like going to meet someone for 1,000,000 naira who has $10 billion. Hallelujah. Amen. So he has the ability. Glory to God. Amen. So in praying, I should know that I'm not whiling away time. I'm not wasting time, you know, just filling space, wasting time. No, I am praying to someone who has the power to get things done. Hallelujah. Amen. So look at James 5 again. James chapter 5. We're here earlier on. James 5, 13. Hallelujah. James chapter 5, reading from verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? What should he do? Let him pray. So really, the problem is actually prayer. Amen. If suffering or affliction arises, we have a tool to take care of it. Amen. And that tool is prayer. Amen. Now look at verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. Now we focus on the B part. It says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Now, that phrase, or is it phrases now? The phrase, fervent, effective fervent. Okay? Effective fervent is actually one word in the Greek. Okay? Effective fervent is just one word in the Greek. It's the word energio. Energio. E-N-E-R-G-E-O. E-N-E-R-G-E-O. The O is accentuated, okay? Energio. Now, that word means active, okay? Operative, working. That which has power or is active. You know, if you are science inclined, what we call kinetic energy. Amen? Power that is working. Amen? Amen? So that's the word energio. Now, in time past, I used to teach, most times when I teach prayer from James chapter 5 verse 16, I used to teach it like effectual fervent is referring to the man praying. Okay? So I will say, please look at your Bible. I will say that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it's like saying, so I remember back then I would say things like, is the prayer that is effective, or pardon me, is the prayer that is fervent, that is effective and avails much. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I used effective fervent for the man. So I would say you need to pray fervently. Do you understand that? So that your prayer can avail much. Until recently, I looked at the Greek of James chapter 5 verse 16 and I saw something that I missed. I observed that the Greek construction there, now, I want you to write this down. It actually says, let me read it to you, the Greek construction. Amen. It says, the prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working, which is full of power. Do you see that? The prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working, which is full of power. Which there is referring to the working. Do you get that? So the prayer of a righteous man avails much in his working. That working is full of power. Amen. So in the Greek, effectual fervent is not describing the man. Amen. But I never saw that till recently. Amen. Effectual fervent is not describing the man, but the outcome of his prayer. Amen. Amen. So if I were to translate this, I would remove fervent from there. Because fervent there is actually a mistranslation. Amen. Effective is okay. But fervent there is a mistranslation. Now, of course, the man praying must be fervent, right? We'll see that as we go on. But that's not what James is saying here. Amen. You can teach fervency in prayer without using James 5:16. Amen. And we'll see that as we proceed. You know, so what James is saying here simply is that when a righteous man prays, that prayer, amen, avails much, working effectively. So remove effective fervent from the back of prayer, amen, and put it in front of avails much. That's what the Greek did. Amen. So the Greek simply says the prayer of a righteous man avails much, working effectively. Amen. Do you see that? Now, that phrase, avails much, used here, in the Greek, is actually two words. Okay? It's two words in the Greek, avails much. It's the word polyiskei. Polyiskei. Poly is P-O-L-Y. P-O-L-Y. Then iskei is I-S-C-H-Y. E-I. I-S-C-H-Y-E-I. Poly is K. Now, I'll break it down for you. The word poly means great. Okay? P-O-L-Y. It means great. It was used for what is intense. Amen? Great. It was used for what is intense. Now, that word is K or is che means to be strong. To have strength. Or to have power. To be strong, to have strength, or to have power. It was used for combat power in the classical Greek, okay? Combat power. What overcomes immediate resistance? Okay? Power that overcomes immediate resistance, or power that prevails. Hallelujah. Power that prevails. So, having seen all of this, we can translate James 5:16 like this, okay? The prayer of a righteous man has overcoming strength, overcoming and prevailing over any immediate challenges or resistance in its working, which is active, operative, effective, and full of power. Hallelujah! Do you see that? I'll come again, because I know what I just said. It has gone for a vanishing. The prayer of a righteous man has overcoming strength, overcoming and prevailing over any immediate challenges or resistance. Hallelujah. In its working. Now, that working is active, operative, effective, and full of power. Amen. Hallelujah. So, in other words, prayer makes power available to deal with or handle situations. Amen. Prayer makes power available to deal with or handle situations. That is what James is saying here. Hallelujah. Now, I looked at some translations and I saw that some translations got it right. Okay. This Greek construction I just gave right now, some translations got it right. So I'll read them to you now. The Amplified Version or the Amplified Translation, he reads this way, James 5:16, the B part. He says, the earnest, heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. Do you see that? Amen. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Hallelujah. Dynamic in its working. See the NIV. The NIV says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at NLT, the New Living Translation. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I love that. Amen. It has great power and does what? Produces wonderful results. Amen. The English Standard Version. It says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Hallelujah. Amen. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. It has great power as it is working. The Berean Study Bible. It says, the prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. Hallelujah. The prayer of a righteous person has great power to prevail. Amen. The Christian Standard Bible. It says, the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Amen. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Now, Weymouth New Testament. Weymouth. It says, the heartfelt supplication of a righteous man exerts a mighty influence. Hallelujah. The heartfelt supplication of a righteous man exerts a mighty influence. Hallelujah. So, these translations, they show us clearly that when a righteous man prays, he should be expectant of a positive change. Amen. When a righteous man prays, he should be expectant of a positive change. Why? Because his prayer is actually causing things to change. Amen. The prayer of the righteous man is causing things to happen. So when he is praying, he should expect that as he is praying, things are changing. Amen. Amen. Your prayer, or the prayer of the righteous man, is turning situations around and prevailing over circumstances. Hallelujah. The prayer of a righteous man is turning situations around and prevailing over circumstances. Hallelujah. Now, someone might say, but Pastor, he says, is the prayer of a righteous man here? Amen. The prayer of the righteous man is the one that does all these things. But I am not righteous. You know, I sin. So my prayers will not be effective. Now, obviously, such a person is new to this church. Amen. So let's answer the question. Who is a righteous man? Okay. Who is a righteous man? A righteous man is one who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. Hallelujah. A righteous man is one who has believed in the Lord Jesus and is saved. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. It says, for he made him. Him is who? I always ask you every time, right? Who is him? You've forgotten. He made him. Who is him? Who is him? He made him. Okay, Jesus, right? Who is he? God, right? Oh, God have mercy. God made Jesus, right? Who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. See, I'm the righteousness of God in him. I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, reading from verse 5. Romans 4, 5. It says, but to him who does not walk, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for what? Righteousness. Do you see that? So when you don't walk, You don't do anything. You don't do any righteous works. But you simply believe on God who justifies the ungodly. What happens? That faith of yours is accounted for righteousness for you. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. So what do I have? Righteousness apart from works. What do I have? Righteousness apart from works. Apart from works means I did nothing. Amen. I obeyed no laws. Hallelujah. I simply put faith in Christ Jesus, and in doing that, I assumed a state, a position, a status of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. He says in verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are covered, are forgiven. Pardon me. Is there anyone like that here? Come on, is there anyone like that here? He calls you blessed. Hallelujah. He says, whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Hallelujah. It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Amen. Who is this man? Verse 5. A man who does not walk but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Hallelujah. So this is the reality of every believer in Christ. Every man who puts faith in Jesus is righteous. Amen. Apart from works. Do you understand what I'm saying? Apart from works. That is, he does nothing. Amen. Look at Romans 5, just the next chapter. Verse 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who is that one man? Huh? Adam. Thank you very much. You are very brilliant. So also, by one man's obedience, who is that man? Jesus, right? Many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So we are made righteous. Do you see that? Do you see that? Made. The word made means you don't do righteousness. Do you see that? Come on, did you see that? You did not do righteousness to become righteous. We were made righteous. Do you understand that? Come on, do you understand that? Do you know there's a difference? Come on, do you know there's a difference? When I do something, I am trying to assume a position, right? But when I am made something, it was apart from me. Amen. So it is a work of Christ on the saints. Amen. We've been made righteous. Say, I've been made righteous. Say, I've been made righteous. Hallelujah. So righteousness has become the nature of a man who puts faith in the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Is there anyone like that here who has put faith in the gospel? So what are you? You're righteous. Amen. Say, I'm righteous. Say, I'm the righteous man. Say, I'm the righteous man. Because I have believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus for my sins. Hallelujah. Amen. E.W. Kenyon, I always give his definition. Anytime I talk about righteousness, he gave us a definition of righteousness. Very brilliant. He says, righteousness is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation. Hallelujah. And that's why Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, why is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because they are now the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So righteousness is the state of the man in Christ. That is, he is now before God and he can never be accused. Amen. That's the meaning of righteousness. The man in Christ can never be accused of sin anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. So you cannot bring an accusation before God, amen, about him. That is the righteous man. Amen. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now go back to James 5:16. Let's now interpret scripture with scripture. James 5:16. Let's read it again. The B part. It says, the effective fervent prayer. And remember we said we can remove effective fervent, right? So the prayer of a righteous man, amen, avails much, being effective. Amen. The prayer of a righteous man avails much and is effective. You can read it that way. That's the better way to read it. Amen. Is that clear? Okay. So it says that man who is righteous, when he prays, his prayer avails much and is effective. Amen. Now, who is that man? The righteous man. Who is that righteous man? Everyone who has put faith in the gospel, you and I. Amen. So when we pray, we make tremendous power available. Every time the believer prays, his prayer avails much. Every time. Hallelujah. Are you excited about this? Every time the believer prays, his prayer is effective. His prayer avails much. Amen. Now look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5:14. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, reading from verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Hallelujah. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Amen. Do you see that? So we have desires, right? And those desires or petitions are brought forth in prayer. Amen. Now, knowing that God always hears us and our prayers are always effective, how should we pray? With confidence. Amen. That's what verse 14 says. Knowing that God always hears us and our prayers are always effective, we now pray with confidence. So as I pray, I should know that I'm not a dirty sinner. Amen. Pleading with God to have mercy. No. Amen. I am now his righteousness. So he hears me every time I pray. Amen. Amen. So therefore, how you would ask will be boldly. Amen. In confidence. That's what verse 14 says. It says, it's the confidence we have in him. Now, that word confidence in the Greek is the word parrhesia. Parrhesia. P-A-R-R-E-S-I-A. P-A-R-R-E-S-I-A. That's the word parrhesia. The word confidence. Now, that word parrhesia means unreservedness in speech. Unreservedness in speech. To be frank or bold in your speaking. Amen? To be frank or to be bold in your speaking. That is, you speak boldly. Amen? Amen? You talk to God in confidence. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want this. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want that. Not, Father, please, if it is your will. You know, I'm a dirty sinner, but just have mercy on me, sir. If it is your will, please do this for me. No. Amen. You are not a beggar. Hallelujah. Amen. You ask and you keep asking until your request is granted. Hallelujah. Amen. So if my prayer is effective, okay, and God always hears me when I pray, then I should be praying all the time about everything, right? Right? Because I know that my prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that my prayer changes things. Amen. Amen. Also, knowing that God always hears me when I pray should influence my fervency in the place of prayer. Knowing that God always hears me when I pray should influence my fervency in the place of prayer. Why? Because I know that I'm not wasting time. Amen. I'm not whiling away time. I'm actually achieving much when I pray. Amen. So if I know that my prayer is effective, then there is a fervent attitude or there is a zealous attitude that I must have in prayer. Amen. There is a persistent attitude in prayer. What did I say? There is a persistent attitude in prayer. Now, look at James 5 again. James chapter 5, verse 17. James 5, 17. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, okay? And he prayed earnestly. Do you see that? That it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Do you see that? Now James is referring to 1 Kings. Turn there quickly. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 First Kings 17, verse 1. Are you there? First Kings is after Jacob. Amen. You know, some of you are looking at the front title, table of contents. God help us. Have you seen it now? Okay. First Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except at my word.'" Verse 2. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here, and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherid, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.'" Amen. Now look at verse 1 again. It says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years." Now, you know, when you read this, you might be tempted to think that Elijah just showed up like a boss. Right? He just came and said, "Sir, there will be no rain." Amen. Because, you know, that's what it seems like. Right? But don't forget what James told you. Elijah actually prayed before he came before Ahab to ask. Do you understand that? Amen. Amen. So prayer was involved. Hallelujah. Prayer was what? Involved. Now see the next chapter. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1. 1 Kings 18 verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass after many days," "after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" Hallelujah. But observe verse 2. "So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria." Now drop down to verse 41. Now remember, God has said it will rain, right? Okay, but see how that will happen. Verse 41. "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" Hallelujah. "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face behind his knees." Do you see that? Do you see that? He put his face between his knees. That phrase, he put his, put underline that in your Bible, okay? He put his face between his knees. That phrase is an expression of fervency. Okay? Is an expression of fervency as he prayed. So when Elijah prayed, his body position and his bodily expression showed that he was taking what he was doing seriously. Are you here? His body showed it. Amen. You cannot claim you are taking prayer seriously and we won't see it. Do you hear what I said? You cannot claim that you are taking prayer seriously and we won't see it. Fervency is visible. Guys, do you hear what I just said? Fervency is visible. Sometimes I see in prayer meetings and I see the way some people pray and I almost feel tempted to lay hands on them. Amen. Praying as though they are toasting God. Amen. Oh, Shamanabana. You know, they are trying to be tush with God. I mean, this is someone that knows you in, out, left, right, up, down. And you're trying to be tush. You're trying to be posh. Say, oh, pray in tongues. Say, Ramana Shaya, Ramana Shaya. I don't want my voice to break. Fervency is what? Visible. Hallelujah. Amen. If you take prayer seriously, we should see it. Amen. Are we together? It says Elijah put, do you know what that means? He bowed down. He put his head between his legs and he was praying. Hallelujah. Amen. So everything you saw, there was prayer involved though. Are you seeing this? Come on, guys, are you seeing this? Look at verse 43. He says, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Now remember, Elijah is praying, right? While he's sending his servant, right? Okay. So he's praying, expecting things to change. Do you see that? Okay. He says, there is nothing. And seven times. Do you see that? Seven times. Underline that in your Bible. If you have red pen, use it. Seven times. Do you see that? He said, go again. So you know all these seven times he was praying, right? So he will pray, he will say, go again. He will pray, he will say, go again. So Elijah was actually praying these seven times, but nothing seemed to be happening. Yet he kept praying. Now, it is in the light of these that the epistles tell us to pray continually. Do you see that? Do you see that? It is not guesswork. Prayer is sure. Amen? Prayer is not guesswork. Prayer is sure. So if nothing seems to be happening, you should what? Pray some more. Amen. Because things will surely change. Just keep praying. That's prayer. Amen. Keep praying. Because prayer is a sure tool in the hands of everyone who prays. Amen. Prayer is a sure tool in the hand of everyone who prays. You just need to keep praying. Hallelujah. So Elijah kept praying till he saw what he was praying about. That is the prayer attitude. Amen. Amen. Are you here? Now see verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time. Do you see that? Do you see that? That he said. Now he there is the servant, right? The servant he was sending. Right? Okay. He says there is a cloud. So the servant started seeing something. Right? At the seventh time. Okay. Follow closely. There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now, do you observe that even the answer to his prayer came gradually? He says, like as small as a man's hand. Do you see that? So it started happening. So having prayed seven times. Now, think about that. He prayed seven times first. At the seventh time, he now started to see small results. Are we together? Now see verse 45. It says, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. Hallelujah. Do you see that? The answers started coming. The seventh time. Hallelujah. And there was a heavy rain. Glory to God. Amen. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Verse 46. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see even with Elijah how powerful his prayer was. There was still a gradual process to it. Amen. Now I want to ask you a question. Imagine if Elijah had stopped at the third time. He prayed the first time, nothing happened, right? He prayed the second time, nothing happened. He prayed the third time, then he says, ah, see what? That's the end. Amen? But he continued. That's the problem with many believers today. Amen? That's the problem with many believers. They give up at the third time. Amen? And they start saying it's not the will of God. As though there is a mysterious spooky will. You say, if you are praying and it doesn't happen, that means it's not the will of God. Says who? Look at Elijah. I mean, seven times. Amen? So what should you do? Give up. Say it's not the will of God. Keep praying. That's the point. Hallelujah. Amen? We can learn from Elijah. What did I say? We can learn from Elijah. Amen. So back to James 5. Are you learning? Are you sure? Okay, James 5 again. James 5, 17. James chapter 5, verse 17. Hallelujah. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Do you see that? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That is, Elijah could get tired. That's what it means there. He could get hungry. Amen. Elijah could feel sleepy. Elijah needs food. Amen. At times, Elijah, he will not feel like to pray. Amen. You think, you know, we forget that Elijah was a man. Okay, sometimes Elijah just wants to sleep. He just wants to rest. He's also a man. Amen. But Elijah did something. He did not let his human nature stop him. What did I say? He did not let his human nature stop him. He persisted and he prayed. Amen. He spent quality time praying until he saw results. Hallelujah. He says, and he prayed earnestly. I like the way the Greek says it. The Greek says, he prayed with prayer. Amen. It's a double emphasis. That is, he prayed fervently. Amen. So we can learn. So it's funny. We can learn fervency from verse 17, but not verse 16. Do you see that? Remember what I said earlier on? We can learn fervency from Elijah in verse 17, but verse 16 is not talking about fervency. It's simply talking about the effectiveness of prayer. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? So he says, Elijah prayed earnestly. The Greek says, he prayed with prayer. Amen. Whenever you see double, the Greek uses double, the Hebrew, that means it is like an emphasis. Double is used for emphasis. Amen. Fervently. And then he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And that is to show you that Elijah's prayer was not answered because Elijah was a prophet. Amen. Elijah's prayer was not answered because he was a prophet. Some people will say, Pastor, I know Elijah prayed and miracles happened, but it's because Elijah was a prophet. He says Elijah was a man like you to let you know that Elijah needed to pray like every other man would need to pray, although he was a prophet. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So the fact that he was a prophet did not add any efficacy to his prayer. Any man who will pray will see results like Elijah did. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Remember his attitude in prayer in 1 Kings 18 verse 42. It says he bowed his head to the ground and he put his face between his knees. Are you picturing that? Remember, he was on top of a mountain. Amen. So it wasn't tiled floor like this. Amen. It wasn't with air conditioners. It was under hot sun. Amen. The ground was rugged. He put this place, amen, in between his legs and he prayed. Are you following what I'm saying? That is fervency in prayer. Amen. Amen. Okay. The location was not conducive. Like the way some people will say, you know, I cannot pray. Say, come for all night. You know the way we do our all nights. Have you been to our all night before? No, I told you, the plans I have for you are plans of good, amen, not of evil. You know, and they say, come for all night. I say, I cannot come because, you know, it's outside. I want to, you know, you want to pray, you need a 5-story mansion. You know, with air conditioning. So you say, I cannot come outside. I cannot come outside to pray. And yet, they wonder why their prayer life is dead. Their prayer life too cannot come outside. Amen. No. Look at Elijah. Amen. Elijah considered prayer itself effective, important, regardless of his environment. I'll come again with that. Elijah considered prayer important, regardless of his environment. Amen. Amen. You know, just like today in the churches, you know, we've made a big mistake. We've taught that there are some people, you know, in church who are specially appointed by God to pray. You know, some people in church are specially anointed by God to pray. We've thought that, you know, in some places they call them prayer warriors. In some places, in some, you know, if it's a Tush church, they call them a prayer department. So what these ones will be doing, they will just be praying for the church members. The church members will bring their prayer requests. Say, oh, Sister Janet. Oh, hallelujah. How are you? So, this is my prayer. You know, I'm going for a job interview today. So, this is my prayer request. So, they will pile up prayers. Amen. So, those ones are the prayer department or the prayer warriors. Those ones will not. So, you go and sleep. So, you leave your future, your life in somebody's hands. Think about it. You leave your future in somebody's hands. You go and sleep. So, the person is praying for you. Hey! They say, oh, brother, I sense a release. Let me move on. Let me know. You know,
The truth is, there is no one who is specially anointed to pray. Amen. Everyone who you see that is very good in praying, amen, who can pray for long hours, is because they gave themselves to prayer over time. Amen. They gave themselves to prayer over time. Hallelujah. No one is specially anointed of God to pray. Amen. And let me say it so that it can be very clear. In this church, we are all the prayer department. Amen. There is no prayer department in this church. There's no prayer warriors. We are all of us at the prayer department. So when we are praying, all of us will pray together. Amen. Amen. So no one is born a prayer genius. Okay? No one is born a prayer genius. We grow into fervency in prayer deliberately. Amen. 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 I remember myself years ago when I started learning, you know, I was developing my prayer life, as they call it, you know, trying to become more serious with prayer. And I remember they would give us instructions back then. You say, pray for 1 hour every day. Amen. Or pray for 2 hours every day. So I remember, you know, you're praying and you set your timer. Can you imagine? In front of you. You set your timer. So you say, pray for 1 hour. So you are praying. Hey! Using all your energy to pray. You check your time. 5 minutes. You know, I'm sure you can relate. 5 minutes has just gone. You say, is it that I'm praying too slow? Or time, is that I'm praying too fast? Or time is moving too slow? Amen? You know, but over time, the more you give yourself to it, no one just is born again and likes to pray. No, prayer is labor. We will see that. Prayer is labor. Amen? So what do? You develop that labor in your life. Amen? You don't keep giving an excuse. I cannot pray. No, I cannot pray. No, I cannot pray. You know, for me, I had to grow from that. Amen? Feeling very, after 1 hour, I had to develop myself. Amen? I gave myself, it's basically what you do, practice over and over and over and over and over. Now, it doesn't get easier. Amen? You will still feel tired. But what you will do via practice is to develop your staying power. So, regardless of how tired I get, I keep praying. Amen? You develop your staying power. Amen? Amen? So, in prayer, the more you keep at it, the better you become. Amen? In prayer, the more you keep at it, the better you become. And remember, prayer makes power available to change situations. Prayer makes power available to change situations. John Wesley, okay? John Wesley said, it seems as if God will do nothing on the earth except by prayer. I think that's true. Amen. Because prayer allows God's will on the earth. Amen. Prayer, write that down. Prayer allows God's will on the earth. Now, God wants everybody well. But is everybody well? No. God wants all men saved, right? And coming to the knowledge of the truth. But are all men saved? No. So this shows that God's will is not automatically allowed on the earth. Do you see that? God has a will, right? He has something he wants to happen. But the fact that God has a will does not mean it happens automatically. You know what prayer does? Prayer allows God's will on the earth. Amen? Amen. So if I want to see God's will on the earth, if I want to see God's will come to pass in my things, amen, I would need to pray. Amen? Amen. If I want to see God's will in my life, I would need to pray. Amen. Just think about it. You know, think about things you want to change. How many of you have things in your life you want to change? Let me see your hands. You have things. Some of you will even lift up your leg too. Say, especially in Nigeria. Pastor, I want things to change. Amen. What do? You pray about it. Amen. Prayer allows, please let that be very clear to you. Prayer allows God's will on the earth. Prayer is like you are giving God permission. Okay, you can do what you want to do. Amen.
Amen. And also, let me say this, that there is a funny, as we begin to close, amen, there is a funny understanding of what Christ did that says that because Jesus Christ died, we don't need to pray. Have you heard that before? Said Jesus has done it all. Jesus paid it all. So because Jesus paid it all, there's no need to pray again. Let me say this to you and say it very clear. Okay, prayer is not a finished work of Christ. Amen. Prayer is not a new creation reality. Amen. Prayer in the epistles is a command. Amen. It's an instruction, an imperative. Amen. So because Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he was raised again, doesn't mean I stop praying. Amen. Are we together? Come on, guys, are we together? Let me say this to you. Avoid knowledge that makes you to stop seeing prayer as important. Any knowledge that tells you that prayer is not important, avoid it. It's not healthy. Amen. Prayer would always be God's tool, okay, to change things on the earth. Amen. So, whether in the Old Testament, and we'll see that in this series, amen. This is an introduction today, but we'll see that as we go on that, whether in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, prayer is prayer. Amen. The only thing that has changed in the New Testament is how you pray and why you pray. Amen. How you pray and why you pray. But prayer remains prayer. What is prayer? Bringing my request, my petitions, my desires, my wishes before a God who has the authority and the power to get them done. Amen. So if there is a man to pray, there is a God to answer. Prayer is man making requests to God and God showing up in power. Hallelujah. God showing up in ability to change circumstances. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Now lift your hands. We'll pray now. Okay.